The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by six local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Midpoint Library System, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Angie Grigalunas. Her book, Sewing, has just come out, and it's the book one in the purification era. She joins us by telephone from somewhere in our region. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Wow, Angie, this is quite a story. Could I call this fantasy? Is that an apt genre for it?
Yeah, I've called it fantasy and dystopian. It kind of is like a mashup between the two of those.
Okay. And where did this come from?
It actually came from a song, a band called Thrice, one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gave me this picture of this group of people killing somebody, and there was this other person standing off to the side watching, and they knew it was wrong, but they also knew that if they spoke up, they would die as well. And that kind of burned this whole thing, this one character, and it's changed probably, I don't even know how many times, over the course of writing it. I've been writing it for probably about 5 or 6 years now, like the whole world and the series and everything. So, but yeah, I pretty much started from that and just kind of grew and evolved and became what it is now.
Is the character that it inspired, is that Rabria?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that is her.
And this is basically the story of two sisters, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell us who they are.
Rabria is a rebel, and she is the older sister, her younger sister is Irelia. And they have grown up in an abusive home. Their mom is very emotionally and mentally and sometimes physically abusive to Irelia. And Rab has kind of been the one to stand in there and, just kind of protect her sister. And she's always been the protector. And she sees this opportunity to join this rebel group to fight against the people who are in charge. And, she's trying to do that, and then Irelia trusts the people who are in charge. She's been raised to believe that they're the good guys, and so she's slowly coming into this understanding that maybe things are not as clear-cut as she used to think. So you kind of have the two sides of that.
And the people in charge, those are the whole Condens. Who are they?
Yes. They are sort of a military slash police regime. I've kind of pulled a lot of inspiration from Nazis for them.
Mm.
It didn't really start out like that, but it kind of, like, as I was writing it, it just kind of, like, I realized how Nazi-like they were, and I was like, well, then I'm just going to play up on that and pull a lot of things from history. So they are, they're basically like a military government, and they control everything. They decide what you do for your job. They kind of have first choice when it comes to who to marry, and they treat people mostly well, but there's definitely an oppressive nature to their governing.
They reminded me a little bit of what I imagine ISIS might be like.
Yeah, a little bit, and then also kind of the KKK. Like, it started out more KKK, and then it kind of evolved into the Nazi thing, so.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The book is Sewing. Yeah. Angie Grigalunas wrote it, and she joins us on the program today. And there's a guy in here named Masreka. He's one of the Hokandens.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's a scary dude. He reminds me of one of these ISIS guys.
Yeah, he's fun. He's very fun to write.
Just because he's so evil?
He's very complicated. There's actually a lot more to him than maybe meets the eye at first. But he started out as just a backstory character, actually. I don't like plot holes or anything, and so I was trying to explain why Rabria was 18 and not married yet in a world where girls usually marry pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just kind of like the guy to explain what happened in her past that made that happen. And as I was writing him, you know, there's just kind of something about him. And I made him a character, and he kind of put himself into the story. He's very fun to write.
In case you're just tuning in, my guest is Angie Grigalunas. Her book, Sewing, is book one in a series called The Purification Era. And in the back, there's a little teaser, and it says to watch out for Quelling, book two, coming soon. And when is it coming?
I am hoping sometime between this coming August and then, like, next spring. So I published Sewing in August. So I wanted to get the next one out, you know, like a year to a year and a half after that. So it's coming up fast.
Yeah, well, as we get to the end of Sewing, it's clear that there is much more to the story.
Yes.
So what was the process for you? What's it been like to go into this other world of your own imagination?
It's very consuming. And like I said, I've been working on this world for probably about 6 years. I actually wrote what I thought was the first book, and I was going through and I had somebody editing it, and they got to about the 13th chapter, and he's like, okay, my professional opinion is that you are trying to tell two stories at once, and you need to separate them.
Mm.
And so I went back and kind of like started with what became Sewing. And at the time, it was just Irelia. Rab was dead from the very beginning. That was kind of the story. And so just in writing what happened before the previous events, or before the events of the previous book one, that kind of is what this, like what came out of it is Sewing, and kind of brought me into a more of like a dystopian focus. But it's a very dark world. But I really, I love it. It's kind of weird to say, but
there's a lot of
the characters, and it's very much a book. Like if I hadn't written it, like I would like reading it. I don't know where the advice is, but there's something that's like, you know, if you don't see the story that you want to read out there, then write it. That's kind of what I've done.
Well, you're quite a storyteller. And
thank you.
You write beautifully.
Thank you.
And I'm getting the sense that you ended up writing the prequel when you wrote Sewing. You kind of divided these stories up so they would be more coherent, one going into the next one. Is that correct?
A bit, yeah. I had what I thought was the first book, and then Sewing was kind of like the prequel to that. And in doing that, it kind of, like, it pushed those events back farther.
Mm.
So the original stuff that happened is probably going to be, like, book three or four.
Okay.
So.
How many books is this going to be?
I'm planning it as 8 at the moment. That's kind of tentative. I don't know if it will actually end up being that many. I've stacked 8 of Sewing, like, 8 of my copies of Sewing together, and it's really, really long.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to make it that long, but
you're very ambitious. and there's a great market for this kind of writing, isn't there?
Yeah, it's done really well so far. It's better than I thought, so I'm excited.
How do you get the word out?
Mostly Facebook, and then doing like the things like I'm going to do at the library, and then just a lot of word of mouth. I've had a lot of support from really good fans. And, you know, quite a few people have told their friends about it, and then the friends get it, and, you know, it kind of goes from there.
Thanks for reminding me about your library event tomorrow. That's Monday, January 9th. You can meet Angie. She will be at the Centerville Library in the lobby She, along with Steve Bine, will be talking about their books and signing copies of them. That's from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock at the Centerville Library in the lobby. And that's their second Monday series that they've been running, which is a great way to meet authors from our area. And where exactly do you live? I mean, you don't have to give me the address, but...
I live in Xenia.
Okay.
And I'm originally from Bellbrook.
All right. So you are a Miami Valley product all the way.
I am, completely.
Angie Grigalunas joins us. We're talking about her book one in the Purification Era series called Sewing. And on the cover, this is a very nice cover.
Thank you.
You've got a picture of this. If you read the book, you figure out it's a poster. And on the poster it says, "This is the real enemy." And this is pretty much the undercurrent throughout the book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's actually kind of a, like, there's several meanings to that. The person who posts the poster is doing it about certain people. But there kind of is this question throughout the book of, like, okay, who actually is the enemy? Because the Hokkanen say that it's this creature race. And then, you know, some people say that it's the Hokkanens, and other people think that it's these, you know, these quote-unquote terrorists who are attacking people in the city, and it's just kind of like, you know, you're not really sure who to trust, and, you know, it's interesting.
Who are these creatures that are kept outside of the city that are treated like slaves? Who are they?
They are the Itzalan. They are a humanoid creature race. They have gray skin, and like their eyes can be pretty much any color, and then they have markings, sort of like flame-shaped markings. And Itzalan and humans have been at war, like, pretty much forever.
Mm.
You know, there's been attempts at peace a couple times, and it just doesn't last. And the Hokkanens kind of came out of trying to protect the people from this enemy. And there's a lot of that. There will actually be more to them, like, as the series goes, they will come into it a bit more.
Angie, there's an undercurrent of violence and dread that runs through this entire story. We have all these sections where we get the feeling that one of your characters, a female, is about to be sexually assaulted. There's just a terrible sense of dread. Wow, it's just a dangerous read.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of violence under the surface. I try not to dwell on anything or make it too graphic, but
yeah.
You know, I also don't want to pretend that stuff isn't happening. And you know, I pull a lot from history and real life, and you know, that's a reality, unfortunately, in our world, and so, you know, I can't pretend that it's not.
Well, the violence is there, but it's not gratuitous violence, and you also don't resort to a bunch of profanity, so I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
What was it like as far as the inspiration? I mean, what kind of stuff do you like to read? You talked about this song. I'm sure there were other influences. What kind of stuff? Movies? Other books?
Really, probably everything over the course of my life has kind of fed into it. I definitely like the fantasy type of books and movies. Like if I ever go to the library, like, I gravitate toward the dystopian or the fantasy books. I like medieval stuff. I've always liked that. That's kind of why I set it in the sort of medieval time period instead of, like, a more futuristic dystopian. Probably, like, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, you know, Chronicles of Narnia, like, stuff like that. Just everything kind of goes into it.
Is this your first book?
This is the first book that I've published, yes. It's actually the third that I have written. The one was the original first book of this series, and then the other one is a completely different story about, like, elves and more fantasy and stuff like that.
But that's still in the form of an unpublished manuscript.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, this is the first book I've actually made into a book.
And what's the experience been like for you? You talked about getting attention on Facebook. What's it been like to publish your own book? I mean, you did a really great job on it. It's got a great cover. I read through it, and I'm always sensitive to typos, to mm-hmm. grammatical errors, and it's really a clean book.
Yeah.
How did you get that done like that? You must have had some great help.
Yeah, I did. I actually met everybody pretty much through Facebook. My editor was in a group that I was in, and we started working together, and we've been working together for probably like 3 years now, 3 or 4 years. And then a cover designer. There was a girl that I knew that had a really pretty cover on her book, and I asked who she had do it, and she told me, and so I contacted that girl. And so we worked together to do that. And then I have an awesome person who does the interior formatting.
Mm.
So I definitely wanted it to be, you know, professional looking, and, you know, I'm self-publishing it, and so, you know, a lot of times self-published books, you know, they don't look like a regular book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to fall into that, so it was very important to me to make a nice, clean product.
Well, in our current time, self-publishing has become something where you can reach a big audience. It's not like the perception maybe 10, 15 years ago of, mm-hmm. oh, it's self-published and, you know, three people are going to read it and they're all relatives.
Yeah.
Now, you read the New York Times bestseller list, you go through the fiction list, and every week you'll find a couple of titles that are self-published.
Yeah.
I see a bigger audience for this series. I think this series really has some potential.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
So how are you planning on reaching them? How are you going to do it?
A lot of social media stuff, and then just talking with people. Actually, at the job that I have, I've sold probably 15 books, I think, just through making conversation with people.
Really?
And just really putting myself out there and, you know, letting people know, is like, hey, this is, you know, I'm an author, this is my book, and, you know, kind of telling them a little, like a really quick explanation of it. But I'm a pretty shy, kind of reserved person, and so putting myself out and, you know, making myself talk to people is definitely a stretch, but it's been really rewarding so far.
Well, you must be looking forward to being at the Centerville Library tomorrow in the lobby for 2 hours, meeting the public, meeting complete strangers, and talking about your book.
I am. That's going to be cool.
And that'll be at 1 o'clock tomorrow, January 9th. And she will be there, Angie, along with Steve Bine. And he has a book out called Disciple of the Wind. And they will be there in the lobby together for 2 hours from 1 until 3 o'clock. Talking about their work, and you have an opportunity to meet them if you're in the Centerville area tomorrow. That's in the library lobby. And, of course, she'll be sitting there with a big old stack of books that she can sign for you, right?
I will, definitely.
Yeah. You were kind enough to sign the copy of my book, and I really appreciate that.
No problem.
And I just think it's really exciting to talk to someone who has their first book out, and they are optimistic about the future of their writing endeavors. They haven't had an opportunity to be crushed slowly beneath the wheel of the publishing industry. I love it.
Yeah.
You're enthusiastic.
Yeah, I really like it. So, I mean, not just the writing, but like this story. I really, you know, like I said, it's something that I would read if I hadn't written it. So, and I don't mean that in like a cocky way at all. Like, I just, you know, I really enjoy the story and the characters, and so it's fun for me.
Well, you have some nice twists in here, and I think one of my favorite ones, and I'm not going to spoil it by giving away too much, is this really scary scene where these bad guys have these two women, and as we went into this scene, I said to myself, no, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. This is too terrible. This is too horrible. And, oh, you drag us through that one. That is some tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I thought that was very clever.
Thank you. How
you did that scene. How do you come up with these plot twists? How does it come to you?
That one, I don't know if I can explain without spoiling
it. Okay. Don't spoil it.
But somebody that I know, they were talking about something that they went through, and it gave me that idea, like a very similar type of situation. And then just the way that I write, like I really just kind of let the characters take over the story, which for someone who's not a writer, that might sound really weird. But they just kind of do their thing, and I write it, and so the plot twists are kind of just there.
It's kind of like they're writing the story, and you're just sort of the vehicle for it to get on the page.
Exactly. That's very much what it is.
So how do you get in that frame of mind for it to come out? Are they always floating around out there, and you just kind of sit down and say, okay, here, let's sit down with this?
Yeah, for the most part. And then I'm constantly, like, on the lookout for ideas, and, like, I get inspiration from everywhere. Like, there's times that I hear a song on the radio that has nothing to do with my story whatsoever, but there's a line in it that I'm like, ooh, that could work for this and this. And it just kind of, you know, it goes. Or, you know, I'll hear a snippet of a conversation and, you know, somebody says something that stands out to me. And, you know, just kind of fitting everything together like a puzzle.
It sounds like you're quite the music fan. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, I get a lot of inspiration from music.
And this band Thrice, I confess I'm not familiar with them, but they inspired this story.
They did, yep.
And you mentioned them in your credits. You also mentioned another band. I'm sorry, I don't remember who they were, but
Trivium is the other band.
Okay, I was not familiar with them either. Who are these bands?
Thrice is sort of like they used to be more like punk rockish, not like punk, but sort of like metalcore, I think is the word for it.
Oh.
But I have liked them for probably like 15 years. I don't even know when I first found them. But they've always been the band that I've come back to. You know, I've liked tons of other bands in between like then and now.
Mm.
And of all of those, I mean, probably hundreds of bands, Thrice is the only one that I still love.
Mm.
And so they're just like, there's something special there. And then Trivium is actually a band that my husband introduced me to. And they just have some really cool lyrics, and the music's really cool. And I don't know, there's a couple of songs on one of their CDs that are just perfect for my characters, sort of like character inspiration. And it's kind of weird because, like, as I'm listening to the song, it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how perfect this is for them. It's like, they have no idea who my character is. Like, I've never heard this song before. Like, how does this even work? But I don't know, somehow it does.
Some kind of magical connection.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you play the music while you're writing?
Sometimes, for the most part, it's kind of weird. Like, as much as I'm inspired by music, music is also really distracting.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a lot of times, you know, I've tried to play music before, and even, like, just instrumental stuff is just really distracting. So, for the most part, I don't write with music, but it's more of, like, the inspiration when I listen to it when I'm not writing, and then I'm thinking about stuff.
Well, everybody has a different way of writing, and I know some writers swear by the having music going on in the background, and I'm always a little surprised. And there's others that like to go into busy coffee shops where it's just noisy, and they sit in there and somehow they can focus on their writing. I don't understand that myself, how that's possible. What is your system? Do you have like a quiet place where you sit?
I actually have an office, so I'm pretty much always in there. I have a laptop, but I really don't take it anywhere. The coffee shop is really distracting too.
Mm.
So pretty much I need silence or, you know, not a ton of noise. Although I can write when there's a lot of noise. Like I took my computer up to Thanksgiving with my husband's family, and it was kind of chaotic.
Mm.
But I was doing the National Novel Writing Month thing.
Uh-huh.
Where I had to write 50,000 words in the month. And I was like, okay, I can't afford to fall behind here, so I have to do this. And I sat there before Thanksgiving actually started, and I think I wrote like 2,200 words or something.
Mm.
And so that was pretty crazy. So
you need silence and a patient, understanding, supportive husband.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you find one of those?
I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Uh-huh. My guest is Angie Grigalunas. Her book is Sewing, The Purification Era, Book 1. How far along are you in the second book?
Word count-wise, I have about 60, I think I have like 68,000 words right now. So in comparison, sewing is about 128,000.
So you're about halfway.
About halfway, at least word count-wise. So,
and
we'll see.
How's it going?
It's good. It actually, I fixed a couple of things at the beginning. I had like 7 chapters or so that were pretty consistent, consecutive, and pretty solid at the beginning. But I would get to like the end of that, and I was like, okay, I don't know where to go from here. Like, I keep getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally realized that because of how book one ends, the big thing that happens at the end there, the second book would start differently and there would be other stuff happening. And so I didn't have any of that stuff happening. And so I went back and I'm slowly fixing it and getting it together with that new sort of plot line.
Okay. Well, Sewing is, as you say, dystopian. It's a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
There are also some flickers of romance here, some very subtle flickers, and I'm wondering, is there going to be more romance in the second book?
There will be more romance in the second one, yes. Not saying between who.
Okay, but. I think I can guess. And this situation with the mother, the evil mother.
Yes.
She is just a crone. She's horrible.
She is.
Why do you have such a horrible mother in your story?
I don't know. That was kind of always there. Sometimes when I get story ideas, like I get sort of this situation. And that was the idea that I got, is this girl has this abusive mother and her sister's a rebel, and just kind of came out of that.
Well, she is just the nastiest, most hateful woman.
Everybody hates her.
Okay, well, this is quite a story, and I applaud your efforts in this endeavor. And I also appreciate you taking time to talk to us about it today on the program. And for listeners who want to meet Angie, you can meet her tomorrow at the Centerville Library. That's Monday, January 9th. She will be in the lobby signing copies of her book and talking about it. And that's part of the series, the second Monday series at the Centerville Library from 1 until 3 o'clock. She'll be there with Steve Bine, who is a writer from Dayton, who is described in this note that I got from the library as a philosopher, traveler, translator, and award-winning author of science fiction and fantasy. So it sounds like that's a good pairing, the two of you together, because your book is definitely fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever met him? Is this going to be the first time you meet him?
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of him, so it'll be really cool.
All right. Well, I hope you have a fun time at the library tomorrow.
Thank you.
My guest has been Angie Grigalunas. Her book, Sewing, is the first book in the Purification Era series. And as she mentioned during the interview, she's thinking maybe there will be 8 books. And I think that this series has tremendous potential, Angie. And I wish you lots of luck with it. And hopefully we can get you back on the show for your next book.
Thank you. That'd be awesome.
You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis.